Welcome to the Nonfiction Writers, podcasting in a great way. I'm Ryan Aber, here joined in the press box at Gaylord Family Oklahoma Memorial Stadium by Joe Masato. Joe, Oklahoma didn't have many problems with UCLA tonight, winning 49-21. What's the number one thing that stands out to you about tonight's game?
I just got finished writing about it, but I mean, there's a lot of things we could look at, but I thought the special teams especially stood out, and I know that is not like at the top of everyone's minds, but I mean, Lincoln Riley seemed to think it had a pretty big impact on the game. I mean, even without big special teams plays, OU still would have won this game easily, but they had an 86-yard kickoff return, Trey Brown, CeeDee Lamb had a 60-something yard punt return, so those two plays really I think excited the fans, got the team going, and Lincoln Riley said there's something about special teams plays in that, you know, it's offensive guys, it's defensive guys, it's some first-team players, some second- and third-team players, like everyone's involved in those.
Yeah, and especially that first, the kickoff return that comes right after UCLA had taken the lead. UCLA has all the momentum, and I think a lot of people in the stadium, myself included, are thinking, well, you know, what's going on with this OU defense? Was last week a mirage? Are we going to see cracks form? They get that 65-yard pass play to Caleb Wilson, score a couple plays later, but then Trey Brown immediately grabs the momentum back with that big kickoff return. It only took them three plays to tie it. Rodney Anderson, who we'll get to in just a second, scores the touchdown. And then really from there, Oklahoma controlled the game really on both sides of the ball until the starters came out in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I mean, you take away that long Caleb Wilson, I think it was 65 yards. It was on 3rd and 16. Take that away, and the first-team defense hardly gave up anything.
Yeah, just a great performance from them. I think, talking to after the game, guys like Trey Brown, Justin Broyles, Curtis Bolton, they all say that this defense is different this year. They say, and it's not only the production of these first two games, which, Oklahoma's put together strong defensive games the last couple of years singularly, but it's starting to look like they're right in that there's a different, I think different mentality sort of gets overused, but it's, there's a different vibe around this defense, and I think it starts with those young players, the Justin Broyles, the Trey Browns, the Kenneth Murrays. He had a fantastic game today. Yeah. The Ronnie Perkins, Bookie Radley Hiles. I mean, on and on and on. And honestly, you sort of throw Curtis Bolton into that, even though he's a redshirt senior, just the fact that he hadn't played much.
Right.
But he's one of those guys who's brought energy to this defense, and it looks like a different unit than we've seen the past few years.
Yeah, it does look different, and I think you asked him what is different, and he didn't really have like a great answer for that. I mean, he says he can't really say one thing that changed, you know, but it's just kind of a mindset, I guess, that you can't really describe materialistically. I mean, he said there's a different level of hunger. He said that they feel like maybe for the first time that the best 11 guys are out there. He mentioned that over and over.
I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, it was like just because you've been here longer doesn't mean you're going to be the ones out there. I mean, we're seeing Perkins out there, Bookie Radley Hiles, a lot of other young guys, a lot of sophomores. So I don't know if that was the perception a couple years ago, but it seems now he seemed to really focus on their best 11 are out there.
Yeah, and I think he also talked about preparation and how the preparation feels different. And not just preparation as in the last week, the last 2 weeks, but going back to off-season work, going back to summer work, and in the spring, that this attitude of get in there, have your notes, have your game plan sort of ready to go before you get to game planning, that he just said it just is different and feels different from top to bottom. He talked about young players being in the film room when he got up there at 10 o'clock at night to do some extra studying. And it seems like that's showing in the production that they're able to put together now through first two games of the season.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, maybe this will be a story we do eventually, but I mean, he talks so much about that preparation, and he's like, now there's a book, and I can study the book like I do any other class, and it'd be interesting to talk to Mike Stoops and some of the defensive coaches who have been around a little bit longer. Like, has anything changed this year? Have they simplified anything? Because it seems that they're getting whatever message the coaches are giving, the players seem to be getting it a little bit more.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about that. The other thing with the defense, and I wrote about this in my main bar today, is the pressure that they were able to get. Had 6 sacks, 12 tackles for loss. Yeah, I did. My wild prediction before the game was that Oklahoma would have 5 sacks. By the time 7 minutes were gone by in the second quarter, they already had it, and they left at least 2 on the board.
Yeah, they could add more
by that point. So just a fantastic day for them, and it was coming from a lot of different angles. Mm-hmm. They were, Mark Jackson at that jack spot had one. Curtis Bolton had 1.5? I think he teamed up with Jackson for that one. Mm-hmm. Kenneth Murray had one. But then they also had guys like Ronnie Perkins that we talked about, freshman for defensive lineman. They had Trey Brown and Trey Norwood, I think, had one each. So bringing pressure from a variety of angles makes this defense so much better, especially given the fact that the last really 3 or 4 years, all of their pressure has come from that jack spot with Eric Stryker and Obo Okoronkwo.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and it's so much makes the defense more versatile and makes the offense, you know, you can't just prepare for one guy. Like, this is the guy we need to stop from getting pressure on the quarterback. It's coming from all areas, all different levels of defense.
Barry Trammell's going to join us here. Barry, we were just talking about defense and how different this defense looks from the defenses the past couple years as it relates to where they're bringing their pressure from. It's been Stryker and Obo pretty much exclusively the last couple of years, and now they're bringing it from all kinds of angles.
Yeah, what was it? I think they've got 6 different guys with a sack already this season. I think it is, maybe it's 7. But they had 6 sacks today, and Bolton had 1.5, and nobody else had more than 1. So
yeah.
They had basically 6 guys sharing sacks. So that's a good sign. That's a good sign. You know, have they been tested yet? Not really. But it's going to be a while before they do get tested. I don't know who can, from who in this conference. West Virginia, I guess, Thanksgiving Friday.
Yeah.
Nobody's looking great in this here conference. So they sure look like the cream, and the defense has played great. Defense has given up 1 first-team touchdown in 2 games.
Yeah, yeah. It's right? Pretty incredible.
2 today in the fourth quarter were against backups. And of Florida Atlantic's, I think, were against backups.
Yeah.
This week starting in the third quarter.
Yeah, so a heck of a start. And, you know, you look at what they faced. Apparently today Chris Robeson went off 471 yards passing for them.
Did FAU win it?
Let's see. I'm actually just saw the
They were winning, but that's, you know, Air Force is a good, solid team. That'd be great. They certainly look better. Perkins and Radley. The best thing for me today was that Perkins and Radley Hiles didn't do that much today. And to me, that's a good thing. Other people are making plays.
Yeah, so I think
Kenneth Murray was much better today. He was getting things done. And Bolton, again. Mark Jackson played much better today.
Yeah.
They had lots of guys doing different stuff.
Yeah, and I think it's a good sign for them that not just one guy is standing out. And you mentioned a couple of those guys where in years past it was that one guy. But like we said, it's coming from all different levels of defense.
Yeah, and, Barry mentioned Mark Jackson. And I think we talked about this on our video the other day, Barry, that there's a lot of thought that Mark Jackson might be the odd man out when they need to do different things defensively. But today he looked like he can be a guy who can stay on the field and make some plays for him.
I was surprised that Caleb Kelly didn't get a run over there. I really was. Maybe I shouldn't have been, because they really never told us that.
Yeah.
Just presumption on our part. Felt a little sad for Caleb, because he sat over there with his helmet in his hand most of the game.
And then they throw the flag for targeting on Curtis Bolton on a fourth down play, which means UCLA gets the first down, and Caleb actually put his helmet on, went out on the field waiting to snap the ball, and they do it. And they say that wasn't targeting, so Curtis Bolton got to keep playing and went back out there. And Caleb Kelly had to come off the field. So he seemed like a good play. I'll say this. Caleb Kelly's played a whole lot of football the last 2 years. I don't know if he's gotten any better, but he hadn't gotten any worse.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they
clearly have gotten better.
Yeah.
Just that alone tells you they're better.
Right, especially last year when they tried to move Caleb Kelly into a couple different spots, use him some different ways. By the way, Barry, Florida Atlantic did win 33-27. Chris Robeson, let's see, let me pull it up real quick. I just had it. 33 of 40, 471 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 0 interceptions for them. So a heck of a day for their offense after not doing much a week ago.
Kyle Kemp, Iowa State quarterback, got hurt.
Yeah.
Ankle. I don't know what that does for next week or not, but you know, I don't know that the Cyclones are high powered. They scored 3 points on Iowa today.
Yeah.
So, that defensive dominance could continue.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. But here we are. Let's see. We're almost more than 11 minutes into this podcast, and we have not, other than one passing mention of a touchdown, brought up the name Rodney Anderson. Big loss for the Sooners. It looked like it was a non-contact knee injury. It looked like he just planted and it went out on him. Lincoln Riley didn't say much after the game other than they hope for the best. But, Barry, how big of a loss is that if Rodney Anderson is out for any length of time?
Well, it's big. Now, they're deep there. They got a lot of good running backs. None of them are as good as Rodney Anderson. But T.J. Pledger and Kennedy Brooks are young guys that have all the talent in the world. And we know Trey Sermon's a big-time back. And for the first time, really, in 2 years, this year and last year, I was impressed today with Marcellius Sutton. I really hadn't seen much out of him. But he had 2 runs today that were excellent. He had an 11-yard touchdown that was not like – I mean, he had to work his way to the end zone, and he did. And then he had a – more impressively, he had a 14-yard run, which he bounced off UCLA defenders.
Yeah.
So, to me, that was a good sign. You know, if Rodney Anderson's not out there, I think they're going to have to do some other things. Maybe they'll throw the ball to CeeDee Lamb more, which I'm always in favor of. I've been telling people, not on a crusade, but I've been saying, I think CeeDee Lamb's the best player. Rodney Anderson. And most people wouldn't agree with me, and I may be wrong. But today we saw why that has some validity. I mean, the guy's an unbelievable talent.
Yeah, and I think more and more I tend to agree with you. You know, in the preseason, I put Bobby Evans as Oklahoma's best player.
Evans
and
he's in the top 3, in my opinion.
Yeah, but CeeDee Lamb, the job he's done so far is just...
That's tough. We'll see that on Sundays. I mean, the NFL guys watching this, they stopped and said, "What?
Well,
what's going on?"
Barry, I'll stick with you for this just because of your perspective. Have you ever seen a crowd react to an incomplete pass the way that they reacted to CeeDee Lamb's catch?
No. And I'm upset with myself for one thing.
What was that?
I wish I would have found Russell Westbrook on the sideline when that play happened. I watched him. Yeah. I watched the replay on the video screen. I didn't think about it until I was writing about it. I said, man, I wish I could see what Westbrook would say about that. So it was phenomenal. But it's like, that wasn't even his only great catch. He had three great catches today.
Yeah, I mean, that touchdown catch was unbelievable.
Traffic, a leaping
he had another one-handed catch, too.
For 45 yards on a well-covered ball. Heck, third play of the game. He's running a short cross. Murray throws it behind him. He just reaches out like he's on a cartoon or something. Just grabs the ball. He's something. He's really something.
Yeah, and Joe, what did you think about one, CeeDee Lamb's performance, but two, the way that Oklahoma was able to move the ball through the air with Lamb, Brown, obviously what Kyler Murray did in the passing game when they needed it most, when obviously after Anderson goes down.
I mean, I was totally impressed. I mean, first with CeeDee Lamb, I think that was the best non-catch catch I've ever seen in my life. I mean, Barry, I mean, you talked to him afterward about asking Odell Beckham Jr. about that because it looked like something he would have done. But maybe I'm just comparing it too much to what I've seen in the last couple of years, like covering Kentucky and being in the SEC.
Joe is going to start chanting SEC.
No. I might be chanting Big 12. I mean, the wideouts on this team are really unlike anything I really saw. I mean, outside of some athletes Alabama and Georgia has, but just the weapons on this team are really impressive, and CeeDee Lamb being at the top of the list for me.
What were you going to say, Barry?
Listen to the SEC from chants from fans when I'm at an SEC. If a colleague does it, he's going out the window.
I'm not chanting it. If you go out the window here, it's a long time before you hit anything solid.
Gonna have to start chanting Big 12.
He'd take care of him.
He takes up swords and torches when it comes to the SEC.
I don't like the SEC chant.
But Barry, is this the best wide receiver combination in college football with Lamb and Brown?
I have no idea. I don't know what else anybody.
I mean, it's hard.
What else anybody ever has? But it's really good. I'm trying to think. It's the best in OU history. Tinker Owens and Billy Brooks were pretty good. They didn't hardly ever play with each other because they alternated in the Wishbone days.
Yeah.
Malcolm Kelly, Joaquin Iglesias. Malcolm Kelly, big time.
Yeah. I think
Lamb's better, and I think Brown's better than Iglesias.
Yeah.
They're so different. What I like about it is they're different. Lamb's physical and all kinds of stuff. And Marquise Brown, this little guy, just hits home runs. So I'd have to look at it. But they're a big-time combo, no doubt about it.
I thought it was interesting today, Lincoln Riley talking about the Biletnikoff jerseys that they both wore last week, and he was all in favor of it. He said he really liked that.
Yeah, I thought that was the just sort of shows Lincoln Riley's attitude about those things. It basically said, have some fun when you can. Don't be overly cocky, but when you can, have some fun. And certainly those guys are doing it right now.
And that if you're not confident, then you don't really belong out there.
Yeah, I thought that was excellent. All right, Barry, let's say the top three most important players from today's game. Go 3-1.
3-1. Well, you know what I think it is? I think it's the three guys we've been talking about. I think it's Hollywood Brown, Kyler Murray, CeeDee Lamb, and no defense. I didn't mention a defender, and something Mike Stoops said after the game. He said, we're doing it by committee, and I think that's a good thing. I mean, they really don't appear to have a defensive star. Who is their best defensive player through two games, or maybe just who do we think it is? I wouldn't even know who to pick. Bolton's played great.
Yeah, I mean, I'd probably lean toward Bolton as far as playing great over two games, but I mean
–
Yeah, but Motley wasn't out there for long stretches today as they rotated guys. So I think it just shows the depth that this defense is building, that they don't have that guy who has to make the plays all the time. You know, you don't have to rely on Eric Stryker, Obo Okoronkwo, Zach Sanchez, Jordan Thomas, as they have the last few years when they have had those moments where their defense has played well. It's been because of, you know, one or two guys. Now it seems like an overall unit. Joe, what's your 3-1?
Well, I think Kenneth Murray was an important guy today just from the step he seemed to take from last week to today. I thought CeeDee Lamb was the most impressive guy. And then another guy I'll mention, we mentioned him briefly, but Trey Brown with what he did on the kickoff return. And also I think he's been playing pretty good defense and being part of that corner rotation.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with Trey Brown, number three. Fantastic game from him, both defense and special teams. I thought that the kickoff return was really big that we talked about earlier. Two, I'd probably put Kyler Murray. You know, for him to had the 69 yards on the ground on 10 carries, a couple touchdowns, was able to get them going a little bit with the run game when necessary, and also to throw for 306 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception, another really solid game for him. And then at the top, it's hard to go with anybody other than CeeDee Lamb. Barry, you brought up Iowa State a little bit. Let's turn our attention a little bit that way. Given what happened today with their game, what's maybe the biggest challenge that Iowa State presents for the Sooners?
They'll be the best defense by far, that OU has played. I don't know that Iowa State's offense is going to be up to speed of any kind, but the Cyclones were really good on defense last year. They were the third best defense behind TCU and Texas in the Big 12, and there was a large gap between 3 and 4.
Yeah.
I assume they're still pretty good. I mean, they held Iowa to 13 today, and their offense didn't do anything. So, and Iowa scored late. It was 6-3 game most of the day.
Yeah.
So, I think they'll challenge this OU offense. It's not going to be as easy as it has been. So, that would be – but to me, that's going to be the key.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree with that. Joe, anything else about Iowa State?
I'm right there with you guys, but also just seeing there's a lot of new guys in important roles, just seeing how they do in their first true road game.
Yeah, that'll be interesting as we talk about all those young players on defense, as we talk about Kyler Murray making his first Big 12 road start. And Iowa State is a sort of a sneaky, I don't know if I want to say a really tough place to play, but Their crowds are pretty good up there, Barry, that they always seem to draw people. I know it's going to be an 11 a.m. kick, but I'm sure those Iowa State people will be fired up for that game a week from now.
Yeah, it's a fun place to go play. It's not an intimidating crowd. I mean, it's not like Kansas State. It's just a loyal crowd. You know, we can't sit here and say it's a tough place to play for OU. I mean, they've lost up there since 1961 or 62.
Yeah.
60 or 61. I'll have to go look. If it was 61, they I think it was 61. I was born in 61. I was born in January, and then I think OU lost up there that October. But outside of that, last time OU lost in Ames, I was in diapers. So let's not pretend it's a juggernaut of a place. But it's a fun place to go, and they play good football. They got a solid team and a solid program. They just dumped bad luck so far. Quarterback's hurt today. They lose to their arch rival. They got their first game weathered out. So I'll say this. My day started off really well because I walked in up here on ASP by the UCLA buses right as they were getting out.
Yeah.
And I bumped into Paul Rhodes. He's now the former Iowa State coach. Now on Chip Kelly's staff.
Our good friend Jason Kersey is going to be so jealous. I don't know if he's heard that.
I told him and he was jealous. But if it wasn't that, it'd be something else. So, I actually didn't see Paul, but I've always been sort of a big Iowa State cheerleader to some degree. And Paul saw me, and we'd gotten to know each other a little bit, and he hollered at me. So we had a nice visit, and he told me all kinds of inside information, like that L.A. weather is better than Ames weather.
It's a stunning revelation.
But he did say, I said, well, I'm going to Ames next week. He said, oh, that's right. That's who they've got. He said, these boys, talking about the Sooners, these boys are going to go up there mad. so Paul Rhodes sort of believes in the revenge thing. Lincoln's trying to downplay it, but Paul Rhodes endorsed it.
Yeah. By the way, Barry, Iowa State's last win over the Sooners in Ames, 1960, was actually the first of two straight. They came here and won in 61.
Sooners have not lost in Ames in my lifetime.
Yeah.
And
November
people consider me very old.
November 5th, 1960, a 10-6.
10-6.
Cyclone.
Sounds like what they did today.
Yeah. Well, that's what they do up there. It's throwback football.
They're not throwing it. They're just throwing it back.
Well, the craziest thing is before that 1960 win, Iowa State hadn't beaten Oklahoma since 1931.
Yeah, I mean, is it 6 wins ever?
Yeah, 74-6-2.
So, yeah. But Matt Campbell's got a good thing going. They're playing well. They've got a good program. They're building back. So it won't be easy. It won't be easy, but OU should win.
Yeah, I would imagine so. But we're going to wrap it up on that note. Joe, any closing thoughts, anything we didn't touch on that we need to talk about before we get out of here as the skies start to darken a little bit in Norman?
I think it's signaling that we should probably get out of here. I think we covered it pretty much all.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back a little bit later in the week talking a little bit more about OU Iowa State. But thanks so much for joining us. You can check out our work every day at newsok.com and every morning in the Oklahoman for the best OU coverage anywhere.